All right, I'm going to preach on, beginning tonight, if you show the title screen, she did, and I'm just going to call it Table Talk. There was a time, you know, when, as families, we used to sit around the table and chat. We don't do that much anymore. We have this little device in our hands. And I've got kids now, and they turn it up like this and lock it in, and they're sitting there watching whatever YouTube program while they're eating. There's no discussion, how's your day, how'd it go? I mean, we've kind of lost touch with our families, right? I mean, and so I'm trying myself to be better at home to, especially when the kids come up to talk to me, to put my phone away and look at them. Now, you might think, well, can't you sit there and do this and still listen? Yeah, I can, and I have. But I kind of think that's rude. They're not getting my total attention. I can multitask. I can hear what they say. And I can respond, and I could be doing whatever on the phone. But anyway, Jesus himself, at this time in his ministry, so you got to think, three to three and a half years have gone by with a very delicate 12 men. I mean, they... Oh my gosh, some of the things they'd say and do just seemed to be like us. You know, we would probably be awkward disciples as well. Because keep in mind, these guys, the majority of them were fishermen. You had a tax collector. You actually had a zealot in the group. And if you know what a zealot is, Simon the Zealot, today's terms, we would call him a terrorist. It was his mission to find Romans and cause havoc whenever he could. Simon the Zealot. There were lots of them, not just him, but Jesus picked one to be an apostle. Now, unfortunately, we don't know much about him, but we know a lot more about Peter and James and some of the others, and John especially. But we don't know so much about some of the others. We don't know too much about Thomas, just a few things about him. And anyway, so here they're celebrating the Passover. You got to understand, the Passover was when they came out of Egypt. That's when it began. And over the hundreds of years, the way you celebrated sort of got modified. You ever notice how things happen like that? You have traditions, and then before long you start modifying them a little bit, changing this. Well, sometimes a whole lot, yeah. So as I was reading about the Passover, what I didn't know as I was studying it, it gave me like 5 or 6 or 7 different periods in history as to how the Passover was celebrated. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not know this. I thought it was the same since the beginning. Well, it wasn't, because in the beginning, the Passover angel, well, I guess you call him the death angel, because the firstborn was, Moses told him, said the firstborn was going to be killed that night. And what you had to do, he told the Hebrew children to go pick out a lamb without blemish. Usually it had to be, I think in this case, less than 10 months old. And they would slaughter it and drain the blood and take the blood, put it over the lintels, which is the side posts, okay, and then over the head. Now, it don't take too much imagination to what that represents, right? Two hands and the thorny head, the bloody head that Jesus had. So it was called the Passover, because if the angel saw that, then he would pass over that house. And they had to be ready, because that was the night that they had no idea when, but they knew that was the night that they were going to go. And so they had their bags. Well, not really bags. They just had what they could carry, okay, and what they had on, and they were going to go. And sure enough, all of that happened, and they left, and you know all of that. We don't have to talk about the Red Sea yet, but the thing is, that was the way it got them out of Egypt. So that's the whole reason of Passover. The main emphasis was the killing of the lamb, which was innocent, the sprinkling of the blood in the way it was done, and the telling of the story as to why they were leaving. Okay, so over the years, it became a ritual. And Jesus, to my knowledge, in this particular instance, I don't know that they sacrificed the lamb and spread the blood on the door, because they actually either had a rented place or somebody lent them a place. So they had a place to have Passover. And the thing is, Jesus said a lot of things to his disciples at that table. Now, the ironic part, at least to me, is the fact that, and by the way, the Jews did sometimes sit to eat, okay? I don't know if they sat like we do or if they sat on the floor, but they sometimes sat. But most of the time during the Passover ritual, they would recline on one arm. Why? That was to signify the fact that they were now free and that they had escaped Egypt. And you were supposed to have a young child who would ask, "Why are we doing this?" Okay, and then you had to recite certain parts of the Passover, and then during that whole thing, you had to sing the Hallel, they call it, which I think was Psalms 103 through something, I forgot. Pardon me for that. But anyway, you'll notice as you read about the Passover story, at the end, they sung a hymn, most likely the Hallel, as it's called. And what I want to talk to you about is some of the things that Jesus said. And tonight, we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 26. We're going to start with verse 20. It says here, "Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And like I said, it's kind of ironic because they weren't free. Most of the time they reclined, but they were still under Roman rule, Roman oppression. So he sat down with the 12. Verse 21. "And as they did eat," so now they're in the middle of supper here, "as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And I looked up that word betray. We always think we know what it means. And by and large, we know a lot of its meaning. But that word betray has multiple meanings. Okay? It has multiple meanings. This wasn't the kind of betrayal to simply silence Jesus. Okay? Preachers would spring up everywhere back in the days of Jesus, and they would preach, and they would try to get a following, and before long they would try to be somebody, you know, because of that following, and in order to fight against that, they would silence the people somehow. Remember when they told Peter, Peter and John, you shall not preach in the name of this Jesus anymore. And they told him, is it better to obey man or God? And after they charged them again, they sent them out. But I think they had even gotten beat. But here we go. It wasn't the kind of betrayal to silence his ministry. It wasn't the same kind of betrayal to simply put him in jail or prison, or even to, like John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos so they could shut him up from preaching. Well, that didn't work out so well, did it? He wrote the book of Revelation and it got spread out all over the place. This type of betrayal that Jesus was talking about was an evil intent to have him literally put to death. So it was something that was so evil. And here he is now saying, one of you are going to betray me. Now imagine, we got 14 in here. So imagine, you know, you were one of the 12. And I sat up here and I just simply announced, one of you going to betray me. Well, that'd be a shock, first of all. Be a shock. And knowing this was to be put to death, and Jesus knew this as well, because he kept telling them days before. But It tells me immediately, when you read between the lines, it tells me immediately there's somebody here who doesn't appear to be what they really are. Okay? It's that word hypocrite, dear. She was working a puzzle today and was trying to figure it out when somebody practices something that they really don't believe. I had to help her with it. I got it just knowing the clue. I didn't even have to look at the letters. Anyway, so somebody in that group was a hypocrite. Now we have the benefit of hindsight. We know the story of Judas. But put yourself in their shoes. They didn't. They had no idea who he was talking about. Because all you have to do is listen to verse 22. Let's read that. Verse 22 of chapter 26. Now this is all of them, and they were exceeding sorrowful. Think about that. They were down in their spirit and began every one of them to say unto him, to Jesus, Lord, is it I? Am I the guy? Lord, are you talking about me? Can I possibly do such a thing? You know, because the word, like I said, used was to have him put to death. And they're all like, no, not us. You know, we're your students. We're your disciples, and now called apostles even. And you're saying we're going to betray you. Is it possible that one of us is like that? And notice they didn't say, well, I bet Peter over there is probably the one, the way he speaks up and out often. I bet he's the guy. No, there was no finger pointing. There was no finger pointing. It was inward. Inward, folks. This is something we got to learn to do. Okay? When there's problems in church, let's look inward first. Maybe we're part of the problem. I've often heard the phrase that if you're in a marching band and 99 people out of 100 are walking the wrong direction, maybe it's you. Okay? It could be you. And so the thing is, maybe the part of the problem is me. And I've got to learn to listen. I've got to learn to be more compassionate. I've got to learn to show love. I mean, it's just so many things. I have to learn to do, and not only to do them, but to do them well. And so here are disciples who are asking, "Oh my Lord, is it I?" You know, they weren't pointing at each other. They were pointing at themselves. In verse 23, he says this. This is Jesus talking now. "And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Now, what's interesting about that is Matthew's gospel leaves it at that. My betrayer is somebody who eats with me, Jesus was saying. He who dips his hand while I'm eating. Now, in another gospel, it says when he dips, you know, they get John, because John's right next to Jesus, they get John to ask him. And Jesus said, "Whomever I hand this to, that's the betrayer." So John knew, but the rest of them didn't seem to get it. So somehow, Judas, I mean, he might have already had his hand in the dish when, that's what I picture, I don't know. But I picture Jesus having his hand in the thing, in the dish, and Judas popping it right in there with him, and Jesus saying that, and all of a sudden Judas is like, yeah, that oil, olive oil, or whatever they use, he probably slung it back all the way and hit the wall. I mean, wouldn't you? Yes. If you thought you were going to be revealed. But you know what's interesting is the fact that it, not only was it someone who eats with me, but Jesus knew what was going to happen. You cannot hide from Jesus. And you got to understand, Judas was he held the money bag, okay? So of the 12, he carried the money. People gave donations as they traveled, you know, to help them out and did stuff like that. Did I see your hand up? As to having a chance, I do believe, you know, it's kind of interesting you ask that question, because what do we do if somebody, let's say we thought we got away with something, whatever that something was, but yet we know, or we find out that somebody knew what happened? Yeah. Well, a lot of times we try to lie our way out of it, you know, and do whatever, or if we do the right thing, we confess. And then, of course, ask the Lord to forgive us. Look, folks, restoration, Jesus is in the business of restoration, not excommunication. Too many times, churches are so easily wanting to excommunicate people rather than restore people. Folks, people make mistakes. People outright sin. Yes. And to different levels, I know that. But look, if the sin is private and it's between you and God, then it should remain private. You do not have to announce it to the whole church. But if I were to get up here being a pastor and I were to sin something publicly, then that demands a public response, okay? It demands it. And it also gives you the right to put me out. And, or however, you know, but Jesus is in the habit and business of restoration. So when Jesus says, somebody's going to betray me, it means he already knew. And then when somebody asked him who it is, asking, "Is it I?" He even said how they would know. And they still didn't find out. Because if you remember reading in one of the other Gospels, Judas left. What did they think Judas left for? Remember, they thought Jesus sent him off to give money to the poor or something, or to run some errand. You know, they didn't get it. But in verse 24, it says this, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him." And here's that chance I think he gave Judas, Brother Tom. "But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." Notice that exclamation part. "It had been good for that man if he had not been born." I'm not teaching this as a doctrine, so don't take it that way. But I often wonder if sometimes children aren't taken early because God already knows that if they grow up, that they may turn out to do something heinous. You ever thought about that? I don't know.
Or the opposite, have something heinous done to them.
Yeah, or have something heinous done to them. That's a good point. Good point. Because sometimes it can be that way. And yes, we cry and we lament over, especially young children, you know. I'm into this. I keep track. I probably shouldn't, but I do. I keep track of a social media channel that is talking about human trafficking. And every once in a while, they'll show pictures, not bad pictures in the sense of acts being committed, but of what's happened to the kids after the fact. And I can't, when I look at those, I just weep.
You showed me a picture of one child, you said, "I'll show you one," and I've never put that out of my thoughts.
Exactly.
That's just the face.
Yes.
Just after it's done, the face, not that they're beat or anything, just...
It's the way it happened.
It's like they die.
Well, sort of. And many of these children... And this is why people are screaming about the border crisis. And I know I'm digressing a little bit, but so many unaccompanied children. I watched one video today. It was actually a Latino who put the video up and was trying to explain why this is a crisis. Because so many of these undocumented children coming across are actually being trafficked, folks. They're being trafficked and sold either into slavery, prostitution, or organs. I mean, that's their future. And my heart, I can't explain it. It breaks. When I read these stories, and I've been reading stories, I don't know if y'all know this, but there's all kinds of underground tunnels everywhere, all over the U.S., all over the world, not just U.S., it's all over the world. They call them DUMs, deep underground military bases. And it's to move armies and other things from here to there, cross country or to some distance without anybody knowing. Keep it out of from the satellites. Nobody knows. So that's why they're underground. The U.S. has them too. The stuff that goes on underneath the White House. I don't know if y'all realize, but under George H.W. Bush, he had extra tunnels built. It was for trafficking children. And all the presidents except Trump knew about that and participated in it. And you might think, Earl, you're making accusations you can't prove. Well, perhaps. But the thing is, a lot of these children hadn't seen the light of day since they were small. and they've been down there for years. Marines were sent down there. They didn't know about tunnels. I mean, they knew the president had tunnels. Don't get me wrong. In case there's a nuclear war, the president has to go down. But what they found was so horrific. There were bodies everywhere of kids that were harvested for their organs. They found kids who were alive, and they actually had to bring them up at night because the sunlight would kill them. That's how long they had been down there. And if you ever read headlines that there are earthquakes happening all over the place, and the depth of those earthquakes, they say, are either 5 kilometers, which is 3.1 miles, or 10 kilometers, which is 6.2 miles. That's military blowing up those military bases underground so they can't be used anymore. Yeah. And if you follow these channels that I follow, you're starting to see why they don't have it on mainstream media. I have no idea. But you're starting to see 10, 15, 100, 50, and all these different states of them finding these children, or finding children and rescuing them. There's all, folks, it's happening every day that they're finding people. Thank God they're finding some of these kids. But the reason these undocumented kids come over is because once they're trafficked and somebody does away with them, how are you going to find out who it is and who they belong to? You have no clue. They have no papers. And that's why this woman made the video about that. And I know I digressed, but look how we betray the Lord in our actions, in our, when I say our, I'm talking about our country as a whole. Our country is involved in this. Folks, organ harvesting and children are big business. There is money to be made. And I am still trying to figure out how I can get involved to help stop some of this, to do what little bit I can to help stop this. Even if it's supporting by donation, I want to be a part of rescuing children. But Jesus says, "Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." And so at this moment in time, the deal was already struck by Judas and the Pharisees, okay, for 30 pieces of silver. And whether you know it or not, 30 pieces of silver is the price of a slave back in older times. It's the price of a slave. Jesus was sold for the price of a slave. And so Judas had the opportunity to come clean. He had the opportunity to stop what he was doing. Now, you will read in some of the Gospels that he did go back to the Pharisees. Once he figured out Jesus was really going to be killed, I mean, first of all, I don't think he believed it. Yeah. I don't think he believed you can kill the Messiah. But once he saw that it was really going to happen, he took the money back. And they said, "What is it to us? You're the one with the problem." He said, "You go and wrestle with your conscience." And he even threw the money at him. He didn't take the money. Now, I know in one place that says Judas repented, but he didn't repent unto salvation. He was just sorry for what he had done. And what did he do? He went out and hung himself. And even Jesus said, I have lost none of these except one, the son of perdition. So Jesus himself admitted Judas was lost. But the fact was, he had it in his power to stop what he was going to do. But he didn't. Notice verse 25, and then I'm going to read one more scripture and we'll wrap up. Verse 25 says, then Judas, which betrayed him, meaning he had already made the deal with the Pharisees, he answered and said, Master. Notice that, he called him Master. What did the others call him? Lord? Is it I? He didn't call him Lord. He said, Master, same as Rabbi. Is it I? And Jesus looked at him and he says, Thou hast said. In other words, you took the words right out of my mouth. It's you. Well, he had to follow, I think, the example of the rest of the disciples, because they asked, was it them? And so he's probably sitting there mulling it over, so he had to ask, well, is it I? And Jesus confirmed it. I think the reason they probably didn't get it is likely because they were a little distant. The tables, you got to understand, for 12 people would have been rather large. And to recline would have required a lot of room, because you didn't sit at the table like we typically do. And you go to a restaurant, they'll take a few smaller tables and join them together, and you sit in a group. But even the conversation happening at one end, and I might be at the other, I still can't hear. I might hear the voice, but I can't hear what's being said. So I have a notion, because Judas, by the way, and this is another thing, Judas, John was on one side, Judas was on the other side of Jesus. You find that out in the other Gospels. Those were the places of honor. Judas was given a place of honor. You remember when Jesus said, when you go to a place, you're invited to a meal, don't go to the high seat? Well, that's what he's talking about. There are places, I guess you would call them status. At weddings, you go, you notice they put placards out with name cards on them. Okay, well, you better sit where your name is. If you sit somewhere else, guess what? Somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, no, you go to the lower table. And Jesus said, don't suffer that embarrassment. He said, rather go to the lower table or the lower place. And then if you're called up, you're blessed. Let it happen that way. Don't go in there expecting that you're somebody. And then they tap you on the shoulder and say, no, here, take a seat lower. Jesus was telling them, that'd be pretty embarrassing to have to do that, and I imagine it would. Well, they probably, because they thought Jesus sent him out on an errand, I think they probably, they didn't suspect Judas at all. In fact, He went with them. I don't know if you know this, but when he sent out the 12, and then another time he sent out, depending on which translation you read, it's either 70 or 72, to heal, raise the dead, open the blind eyes. Judas was part of that. I can't imagine. And so that makes me fearful. Why does it make me fearful? Because if Judas can see all the miracles, live with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years or 3 years, I don't know how long it was, and still, with his own motivations, want to betray the Lord to the point of death.
Well, he's seen what all he was able to do, and he probably thought he could get out of it.
He may have thought that, but like I said, I think he thought he was going to be king of the, not king, but ruler over all the money.
But don't you think actually, if he would have said, Lord, it was I, the Lord would have forgiven him.
I do.
He would have forgiven him, but after he lied to the Lord, he thought there's no more hope for me, so he just went out and killed himself.
He likely did. I mean, when he probably came very close to repenting, but that's what's sad. People do feel sorry for things they've done, but they're not sorry enough to come to the Lord and ask forgiveness. And maybe they have in a private moment, I don't know, but a lot of times, I mean, I think of people like Saddam Hussein and his children. Hussein and Qusay. I forgot which one, but it was the younger one, younger brother. He would do all kinds of evil things. And if he arrested you, just if you looked at him cross-eyed, okay? You looked at him wrong, and he thought you might be his enemy. If he had mercy on you, he would throw you in a plastic chip shredder, and that's what it was for, to chip up plastic into little bitty pieces. He would throw you in head first if he was merciful.
He should have been called Sodom insane rather than new saint.
Well, but if he was unmerciful, he'd throw you in feet first. Can you imagine going through a chipper feet first? People did. But I'm, you know, some people, their evil just overwhelms, I think, their ability to come to Christ. Maybe they have blasphemed and aren't able to come to Christ. So, yes, so Judas knew it was him. And I do believe we're all susceptible. We're all susceptible not only to deception, but we betray the Lord in different ways. Most of the time, it's through disobedience. Lord might want us to do something. What do we do? No, he's not really telling me to do that. No, Lord wouldn't want me to do that. Yeah, I mean, Lord is not going to call you to do something that he's not going to supply. And, I mean, our best example in the Bible, at least one of them, was Jonah. I mean, he did exactly the opposite. And then when he finally did do what God said, he complained about it. And God still had mercy on Jonah. Jonah was a conundrum to me. But when I read that story of Jonah, and it's not a very big book. It's easy to read in just a matter of minutes. It's just amazing. But we all can fail. And we all have the capacity. Let me say it that way. We all have the capacity to betray Jesus with our disobedience. So we got to remain careful. We've got to remain careful and watchful. Remember when Eddie was talking about the watchman. Okay, there's people watching about these paths you walk. Are you on the right path? Are you walking according to the scriptures? Okay, if you find yourself kind of off kilter a little bit, that's when you need to examine yourself to see if you're even in the Lord and straighten up. That's very possible. People watching every step you make. Part of the reason they want to see you make mistakes so they can rub your face in it. Well, this is the part they don't understand is forgiveness. I had one guy challenge me. He sat there and he's also the same guy who said that the only difference between ISIS and Christians is that we don't behead people. And I had my mouth shut. I was, because he was arguing with somebody, and I kept sitting there. I'm going to keep quiet. I'm going to work. I'm not going to get involved. You know, I'm just going to keep quiet. And then he said that. The only difference between ISIS and Christians is that we don't behead people. And I couldn't hold back anymore. I said, really? That's the only difference? You know, do we not help the homeless? And do we not help? I went over a list, a whole bunch of things. And that's what he was waiting on. And he walked up to me and he said, now, let me ask you a question. I know, here it comes. I thought he's going to ask me one of these questions that just don't make any sense to an unbeliever. Do you really believe that you can sin your entire life and at the last minute on your deathbed ask forgiveness? I said, if it's done rightly, sure. There you go. And he walked off. Yeah. I was going to mention that to him, but he just threw his hands up and walked away. Because he didn't believe that somebody can sin all their life. And yes, if they're given that last opportunity to repent, that they could be saved. And I had to admit, like the thief on the cross.
It doesn't matter at what point in your life, because God doesn't remember once you repent. So whether you're 12 years old or you're 112 years old, it doesn't matter because God forgives.
But his ears weren't susceptible to that. And I know you work with people like that, and I'm like, how? And I even prayed. I'm like, Lord, I'd like opportunities to talk with him and explain some of this. But he just flat out asked me this question. And then when I agreed that it could happen, he just thought, nah, you're a nut, you know, and walked off. Did you have a question?
We know what we're doing.
Oh, yes. He sure does. The devil is good. Well, he's had thousands of years of practice. He's good at causing you to fail. The thing is we try to resist him on our own power. And we can't do that. No, and that's part of the reason we fail a lot. And I'm not trying to make this a gender thing, but men typically are the worst at it. We think we're a lot stronger and got a stronger will. Yeah, macho type. But no, we're probably as helpless as anybody. And so you got to keep that in mind. And the devil knows your weakness. He knows yours. He knows mine. He knows yours. I mean, he can figure things out. And if it don't get you today, he'll come back tomorrow. Yeah. He did the same for Jesus. He did the same. After he left Jesus, he said, for a more convenient time.
Just like Jonah, when the Lord let him out of that fish's mouth,
yeah,
and told him to go to Nineveh, he was still growling and grouching the whole way and hated it because he had to tell those people and he didn't want to do it at all. So he just...
Well, that's the beauty of the story, is the Lord was just so merciful to him. But I mean, if you're a fisherman out there and you see a whale or a big fish come up and vomit somebody out on the ground, and he's first thing he says when he gets out, repent. I'd repent. I'd repent. And the thing is, he went to Nineveh and he did what God told him, even though he's like, nah, it's not never going to work. And he did what God told him. And well, guess what? Not only did the citywide revival happen, but the animals were covered in sackcloth and ashes. And they had to fast as well. And guess what? God held back his hand. And Jonah even growled about that. He said, I knew this would happen. I told you. You were merciful. And he's... How can you talk like that to God?
How do you think that conversation went? saw Jesus.
Yeah, right? It's like, oh. I'd be like Job. Do like this, and I say, I've, you know, cover my mouth and say, I've spoke about things too wonderful for me to know. Yeah. That's it. And I mean, he had to do it the hard way.
When he did it, he was mad.
Yeah. And so that was that. So like I said, we all have the capacity, because here's what I want to show you. I want to show you this last scripture. Don't mean to hold you over, but I'll show you this last scripture. Chapter 26, a little further down, verse 35. Peter, the main speaker of the group, boy, he's all time saying stuff. Peter said unto him, Jesus, though I should die with thee. Oh, don't you just love, I can hear him saying it macho style. You know? Yeah. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And then likewise also said all the disciples. They all lied. They all lied. I'm like, these guys, I mean, Jesus is, they just weren't ready. I mean, the Holy Ghost filled them and gave them boldness, but they didn't have it. They thought they had it.
I think they were blinded. They were,
and a lot of things they didn't understand. And they were braggadocious about the things they would do. You know, I tell you what I hate. I hate it when somebody says, well, if I'd been there, I would have shot that person or something like that. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
He's talking about me.
Yeah. Well, people who just nonchalant say, I'll kill you or whatever. I'm like, you've never been in a battle. You've never been in a war. I don't know what I would do in a situation like that. You know?
Don't you think after that scripture right there, Peter finally came to his senses and repented and asked the Lord to forgive him and finally made it and acted like he was supposed to act?
Yeah, well, after it actually happened, when he denied him, what'd he do? He went out and wept bitterly.
There's no way they could understand resurrection.
No. They had resurrection was not even on their mind. Nobody was at the tomb. Nobody. Well, there were women coming to finish the spice work.
What I'm saying, even at the Last Supper, there's no way that they understood what the resurrection meant, what was going to happen.
Right.
And I think when Judas did what he did, I think he thought that Jesus just, he couldn't die. They wouldn't go that far.
I agree with that, because I tend to think Judas was trying to force Jesus' hand.
So that they could all come into the kingdom. Yeah. And
the Romans would be wiped out, and we'd be rulers of the world, and he's holding the money. And
because they didn't understand resurrection, that leads you to believe even more so.
Yeah.
What you just said.
Exactly. Because, I mean, yeah, Peter had no clue. But even though he agreed that, and Jesus kept telling them that he was going to die, but even Peter bragging at the fact that if I should die with thee, I won't deny thee. Well, you know, when that moment comes, and it may come, you think it might not, but in one of the school shootings, supposedly, then this could be rumor, but I don't know. But supposedly one of the gunmen actually pointed a gun right at a girl's head and said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And if she said yes, pow. So.
I think that happened in the first one.
I think it did. I forgot what the Columbine.
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 We think stuff like that won't happen to us, but it could.
It could. And it, of course, you know, the shooting's already happening again. Soon as somebody gets in, there's now all of a sudden we got shootings going on. Well, this just gives you an idea. Again, I didn't mean to go so long, but this gives you an idea as to what kind of table talk Jesus was trying to have with his disciples, but they didn't grasp all of the meaning and the implication, like you were talking about. They didn't understand the resurrection. And so they didn't grasp all of that. And they probably didn't have the capacity to grasp all that either. Exactly. And sometimes we still are.
Oh,
yeah.
So much has come out, like the human trafficking and everything else, that the Pizzagate, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we, some people are just oblivious to, you know, it's like they don't understand that time is winding down. They just think time's going to go on forever and ever. And
you know,
by the time they wake up, it's going to be too late.
That's the problem. I was getting ready to say, a lot of people are still asleep. And they haven't woken up to the evil that is going on all around us, folks. Not just a little bit. I'm talking about all around us. Hollywood is loaded with it. No. No. But we'll still pay that almighty dollar to go watch movies. Of course, COVID kind of knocked that out for a while. Right. Right. Yeah, and
I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world, and 1%, less than 1% has died.
What happens
when this is,
Well, the thing that bothers me is a lot of talk of climate change. Folks, when you hear people talk about climate change, what's the quickest way to reduce carbon emissions? Think for a moment. What is it?
Don't drive.
Oh, no. You're kind of close. Depopulation. Why do you think so many people are dying in wars and from other things? Depopulation. Bill Gates himself came out and said he wanted to depopulate the world by 15%.
Well, maybe he needs to pay for more abortions.
Yeah, well.
And I'm saying that very sarcastically, because that's one of my pet peeves. All these feminists who are like, oh, it's a woman's choice. Okay, it might be a woman's choice, but you're killing a female at least one part of the time. Even if it's 1 out of 10 times, you're still killing a woman. How can you be feminist and support that?
Well, there was a headline just...
I just want to pinch their heads off. Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, I know, but there was a headline yesterday, Chelsea Clinton lamenting the fact that her mom, her great-grandmother, I think, was denied the ability to have an abortion. And I'm thinking, do you know what you're saying?
Right. Right.
If your grandmother had an abortion, very likely you might not be on this planet. And so that's one reason they want to keep that in place, because it directly affects climate change, folks. And
that we can stop the cows from farting.
Yeah, that I mean, there's all kinds of hogwash. But I don't think we have the power on this earth. Man was told to subdue the earth. Take care of it, of course, but to subdue it. And that was the charge given to Adam, and I think the charge is for us today. But a lot of people don't want to do that. But depopulation is the quickest way to reduce climate change. And folks, they keep saying within 9 years we have to reduce climate emissions. Yeah. Yeah. And weren't allowed to win. They weren't allowed. It was the...
They could have, but they weren't allowed.
Yeah, it was the bigwigs in Washington calling the shots.
Yeah, but if you think about what Eddie said this morning, there were like 600, he didn't give the number, but I think there were like 600,000 people
killed in the Civil War.
Yeah.
In America.
Yep.
If we had another Civil War, and it's been close at times.
Very, very close.
There's your half a million people getting killed.
Just in one country?
Yes.
Yep. So think about that. Think about that. Some wars are started for that reason. Now you might think, and the media will have you believe one thing, but wars are started for different reasons. And there are few people in the upper echelon who know about these real reasons, and they can control that. And man, if you think we're not interfering with people's elections today, then you got another thing coming, because we do that all the time. And so for countries to interfere in our election, that's a no-brainer to me. I mean, because we do it to them all the time, but yet we don't tell people that. It just comes out, but we don't tell people that outright. Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway.
The thing about all of this, the one that's in charge is going to be taking care of the whole caboodle.
Exactly.
No matter who it is, when he says enough's enough, it's going to be enough's enough.
Jesus, and that's where we got to leave it here tonight. Jesus is sovereign. Mm-hmm. He is Lord God Almighty. So let's leave it at that. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what you've taught us tonight. Help us, Lord, to not rely on our own strength, but to rely on your strength, to overcome and to be overcomers. And so, Lord, in the coming days, whatever transpires, I pray, God, that you would prepare us and help us, Lord, to do the right thing and not betray you through disobedience or any other thing like that. But God, help us. Fill us with your Spirit. For we ask these things for your sake, for your glory, and ask in the name of Jesus, our soon coming King. Amen.